From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Owen Henderson. It's Tuesday, June 20th. Coming up, we'll hear a conversation with the incoming provost at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. That story in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. A Democratic Illinois congressman says lawmakers need to do more to prevent mass shootings. Sean Kasten, who represents Willowbrook, says the proliferation of guns needs to be addressed first.
We could do much more, but we need to address the root causes. We need to reduce the number of guns in the streets.
31-year-old Reginald Meadows was killed and more than 20 others injured in Willowbrook early Saturday during a Juneteenth celebration. A mass shooting early Saturday morning near Lincoln Park Zoo injured 5 people, 4 critically. 2 people were killed and 3 injured during a mass shooting Sunday in Chicago's Roseland neighborhood. Illinois police departments can now use drones to patrol parades and other special events. Alex Degman reports.
Governor J.B. Pritzker signed the Drones as First Responders Act. It outlines how police can use drones to cover crowded events. State Senator Linda Holmes, one of the sponsors, says the push for this intensified after last year's mass shooting in Highland Park, but drones can also be used outside of major events, even on regular calls.
They don't replace the response of an officer, but they provide information in advance that can support the officers with their ability to respond in a safe and effective manner.
The law also outlines what police can't do, like gather facial recognition data using drones or install weapons on them. It takes effect immediately. I'm Alex Degman.
An Illinois prison watchdog is calling on the state to act faster to meet its own goal of closing all youth prisons. Patrick Smith has more.
In 2020, Governor J.B. Pritzker's administration put out a plan for the Department of Juvenile Justice based on the idea that big adult-style prisons are bad places to try and rehabilitate kids. Jennifer Volenkatz with the John Howard Association says the plan is a good one.
The research is very clear. When we incarcerate youth instead of treating them, we set them on a path to be in and out of the prison system, you know, for years to come.
However, the plan called for the state's 5 youth prisons to be closed by the end of 2024. Volenkatz says the state is not on pace to do that. A spokeswoman for the Department of Juvenile Justice did not dispute that, but said they're also working to set up care and support for young people in their communities. I'm Patrick Smith.
University of Illinois researchers are working on a way to make it easier to locate cancerous tumors in the body. Doctors currently inject nanoparticles into the body to locate cancer cells, but postdoctoral researcher Indrajit Srivastava says they often collect in the liver rather than on the tumor. His team has been testing nanoparticles coated in red blood cell membranes. These stick to tumors and allow doctors to find both early and late-stage cancers with one scan.
With our platform, you can have a picture real-time when you're doing the surgery. While the surgeon is operating, they can tell that this is an aggressive cancer and this is not an aggressive cancer, which I feel like would be a game-changer in the next 5 to 10 years.
Srivastava says he thinks this technique of wrapping particles in bodily tissues could be useful in more surgical procedures in the future. Still to come, we'll hear a conversation with the incoming provost at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
In the 4th season of the Great Performances series, Now Hear This, celebrated violinist and conductor Scott Yu explores the secret history of some of the world's finest music. In the new season, Yu travels to Buenos Aires, Brooklyn, Granada, and Leipzig to investigate the mystery and histories of works by Schumann, Albéniz, Andy Akiho, and more. Learn how you can watch this and other great performances as a friend of WILL at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Owen Henderson. In mid-July, John Coleman becomes the next provost at the University of Illinois. Illinois Newsroom's Reginald Hardwick talked with Coleman about his long academic and political science career.
John, first, welcome to Illinois. You are currently about 500 miles north at another land-grant university, the University of Minnesota. What attracted you to the U of I?
Well, first of all, let me just say how excited and enthused I am about this opportunity. University of Illinois has a terrific national and international reputation. That was certainly a big part of the attraction. The fact that it's in the Big Ten. I love the Big Ten, the kind of institutions we have, the research and academic integrity, the ways that we operate, I think are really the model for the country, for research institutions. The fact that the University of Illinois is a land-grant institution, that means a lot to me, that public commitment, as I've said, that we try to be the best in the world, but we're also trying to be the best for the world. And my wife, Laura, is a proud alum of the University of Illinois, so I certainly heard about many of the attractions of the university through her. And you mentioned being 500 miles north, so at certain times of year, being 500 miles south is not a bad thing.
Have you had a chance to evaluate some of the programs here in Illinois, and where will you concentrate some of your energy when you arrive?
There's a lot of exciting churn, I think, at the time, sort of a moment of opportunity to really think about what will our universities look like 3, 5, and 10 years down the road. So I really want to think through with people, how do we take the best of these opportunities? How do we create a kind of university environment, both for the students, for employees, for our community partners? I'm also thinking a lot about how we can expand what we offer, both to our students in terms of interdisciplinary opportunities, certificate programs, and so on. And the university is doing some great work in that regard. How do we think about external opportunities as well? Really serving new audiences, new segments of the public, people who are already out in the workforce and so on. How do we provide them as the land grant institution? How do we provide them with opportunities to benefit from the University of Illinois?
You've authored or edited 7 books on American politics and government, and you've earned a PhD in political science from MIT. What attracted you to that field?
Well, I had one of my very first memories as a child is my dad taking me down to City Hall to watch the votes be tallied on a chalkboard as they were doing it back then. And I had, for whatever reason, a very early interest in news, public affairs, and just sort of following what was going on. So that was always an interest of mine. What I appreciate about political science is it certainly is, like other fields as well, trying to understand people's motivations. It's trying to understand why people come together in groups, in coalitions, why things sometimes break up and don't work very well. It's very much about thinking about how do you make good policy? How do you make policy that is either incrementally better than what you've been doing or maybe transformatively better than what you've been doing? And I also have always thought about politics as really an opportunity zone. And as I think about my time in higher ed too, I focus a lot on opportunity and how are we expanding that.
We have an ongoing series called Building a Better Democracy. What would you say is the state of the American democracy right now?
We have a very fractious political environment, I guess I'll say. I think generally speaking, we see our institutions hold pretty strong. And they can accommodate a lot of turmoil and conflict and disruption, and they can help us through some of those. So I think in that sense, we're seeing many of the strengths of the system persevere. I do think what concerns many of us, certainly concerns me, is the sense of in which polarization, being in conflict, has become almost an end in itself and has become something that gets very rewarded in many ways, as opposed to thinking about how do you find some solutions that might have some more common ground. And I know when I talk with our alumni, regardless of where they are in the political spectrum, that is something that really frustrates them and concerns them, because it just makes them worried about the country ever being able to seem unified on at least particular points. Even if you disagree on the means to an end, at least agreeing on what the basic ends may be. It doesn't mean you have to agree on absolutely everything, but that there's a sense that we understand how to dialogue with each other.
U of I plays a major role in agriculture, science, engineering, the arts, and much, much more. What role do you see in affecting various academic programs across campus?
One of the roles of a provost is to work closely with the colleges, all of the colleges, to help them achieve what they are trying to achieve and to aspire to. So I would be working closely with the deans in helping them where they're needing some maybe a sounding board in thinking about a possible path forward, or where there's already a promising path, trying to help them execute the mission that they have, or strategic plan, or whatever it may be. I appreciate the wonderful opportunity that this is, and looking forward to getting very engaged in the community beyond the campus as well. So it's an exciting time. And as I said before, those extra 10 to 11 degrees in the winter, I think I'm going to appreciate that very much.
We've been talking with John Coleman, the new University of Illinois Vice Chancellor for Academic Affairs and Provost, who starts his new job on July 19th. Thank you, John, for joining us.
Thank you so much, Reginald. I appreciate the opportunity.
That was Illinois Newsroom's Reginald Hardwick reporting. Listen to how Coleman increased Black and Latino student enrollment at the University of Minnesota at illinoisnewsroom.org. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it'll be sunny with a high of 91 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Alex Degman, Patrick Smith, Owen Henderson, and Reginald Hardwick. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Owen Henderson. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.